Welcome, Brother Eric John Phelps with the 24/7 World Radio Podcast today on this September the 6th, 2025. Welcome to the podcast. The topic for today is how babies and young children not having done good or evil, in addition to the fact they have no Adamic sin guilt, do not go to hell. They go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, their Savior. So, babies and young children do not go to hell. However, there is an age when the young child gets to a place where he knows to choose the good and the evil. And when that arrives, and he has chosen evil, he now has personal sins, he now is one of the lost, and he now needs to be saved. Some would call this the age of accountability. Once again, babies do not go to hell. Aborted or murdered babies do not go to hell. And young children do not go to hell. The ones that are lost and dead in trespasses and sins are those who are conscious of their sins. They are conscious that they have chosen evil, that they have done evil, and hence they have sinned, and hence they are lost. And we know that everybody's born lost. We know that everybody's born in Adam. We know that everybody is in Adam and therefore is guilty. The whole world is guilty before God, as we read in Romans. But there, the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe, has made provision in his death, burial, and resurrection, having died for the Adamic sin guilt of every man, woman, and child. And so, people are not going to hell because they have Adamic sin guilt. They're going to hell because of their sins. And because they're not saved and they have not been washed in the blood of the Lamb, their sins have not been removed, that's why they're going to hell. For those who have not committed any acts of sin, such as babies and infants and young children, they're not under the sentence of hell. They're not condemned. They have no sins. And the Bible talks of them in other places as being the innocents. Innocents. So, shall we begin? We read 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 8:15 through 20:23. Remember, David has committed adultery with Bathsheba, another man's wife. She got pregnant, and the child was born, and the Lord killed that child. Not to punish the child, but to punish David for what he did. The child was saved. The child went to paradise, because in those days, the saved people of really any dispensation, when they died, they went to paradise and were awaiting the speaking with their Redeemer, which Christ did come there. And after his burial, he descended into paradise, and they saw him. So all the people, the saved and those who died with no sins, the babies and the little children since the creation of Adam, all of them who died, they went to paradise. The saved, looking for their Redeemer and needing to be saved, having their sins forgiven, as well as the babies and the young children who had no sins. They all went to paradise. How do we know this? Because we read in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 15 to 23. And Nathan departed unto his house, I should say verse 14. Howbeit, because of this deed, thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child with that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted, and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth. But he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, Behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, Is the child dead? And they said, He is dead. Then David arose from the earth, and washed, and anointed himself, and changed his apparel, and came into the house of the Lord, that's the temple, and worshipped. That would be, in his day, that would be the tabernacle, and worship. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, What thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. And he said, While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, Who can tell whether God will be gracious to me, that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? And then he says this, I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. In other words, when David dies, where David's going when he dies is the same place that little baby is, or was, and is. That place was Abraham's bosom, or paradise, which is in the midst of Sheol, or hell. There's a great gulf between paradise and hell, which is Hades in Greek, Sheol in the Hebrew, place of burning flame. And so, those that were saved and those that had no sins, they went to a place of resting and peace. That's why Samuel, when he came up to speak to Saul after Samuel had died, he said, Why have you disquieted me? Samuel was in peace. Everybody then in the Old Testament, when they died and they were saved or had no sins, they, like the babies and little children, they went to a place called paradise. And when the adults, when the parents would die, they would see their babies, their children that had died as babies, infants, young children. They would see them again. David said, I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. That's a huge doctrine here in that one little sentence. And I can tell you, there have been many a Calvinist who denied this. They all believe that they believe that babies went to hell when they died, based upon the doctrine of Adamic sin guilt, that they're guilty in Adam and therefore are condemned and therefore died and went to hell. That is, unfortunately, a typical Calvinist doctrine. A very influential preacher of his day, his name was John Gill, he wrote a commentary on 1 Thessalonians. That's what he believed. And he took over a fairly large Baptist church in England. I think it was in London. And it wasn't long after he had preached this doctrine of the condemnation of innocence that the people left the church and it dwindled down to nothing as a righteous judgment of God on Dr. John Gill for preaching the heresy that children and babies go to hell. Now let's see what the Lord Jesus Christ said about this. Let's see what God manifest in the flesh has to say about this. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 14. We read, verse 13. Then there were brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. And so this underlying word in Matthew 19:14 for little children is paideia, and it simply means little boys, little girls. And it's obviously this is before the age of puberty. And so I don't know when this innocence ends. It may be different for certain children. But when they come to the place where they know good from evil and begin to choose evil, then they now have personal sins and they are now lost. The Lord didn't have to elect any babies. He didn't have to elect any aborted babies. They're already saved. They're already without sins, any acts of personal sin. They have no Adamic sin guilt. So therefore, he takes him to the place where all the other saved will be that have been saved by the grace of God, who needed to have their sins forgiven. Okay? So, this is the first verse where the Lord Jesus Christ said, "For of such is the kingdom of heaven." Those entering into the kingdom of heaven after the... Well, at this time, Christ would have established the kingdom of heaven. He would have established the Davidic kingdom based upon Israel's national repentance, which meant forgiveness of personal sins. But one day he will establish the Davidic millennial kingdom, and those who enter in will be saved. The whole house of Israel will be saved. Those people that survive the great tribulation, the last half of the 70th week of Daniel, those Gentiles who survive, they will be judged in the judgment of the sheep and the goats, Matthew 25, and the goats evidence their sin by their persecution of the Jews, and the sheep evidence their righteousness and forgiveness of their sins at the preaching of the 144,000 by virtue of them being good to the Jews during the last half of the 70th week of Daniel. They're saved. They have their sins forgiven. As far as the children, they don't need to have their sins forgiven because they don't have any personal acts of sin. You say, well, my child was disobedient to me, or my child, they're just being children. A baby wants one of three things. They want to have a diaper change, they want to be fed, or they want to be loved. And so they'll cry for one of those three things. They're not sinning. But when that baby begins to grow up, he needs to learn good from evil. And so that's discipline. And he's going to learn discipline and ultimately to have virtue. But I'm convinced that when they get to be about 12 or so, that particular age, why do the Jews have bar mitzvah at 12 years of age? Well, they're coming to the age of manhood and womanhood. They're coming to the age of puberty. So, don't ask me what the age is when they are no longer without personal sins. I don't know. All I know is that these babies, that these poor little murdered babies, they're not fetuses. They're not fetuses. They are babies. David said, "In sin did my mother conceive me." Didn't mean it was an act of sin that she conceived David. It meant that David had Adamic sin guilt the moment he was conceived. He had Adamic sin guilt. Later, the Lord Jesus Christ would die for all men. All Adamic sin guilt he would pay for, which we shall see. So, we need to realize that those that will be with us in heaven will be all those innocents that were killed or died prematurely before they knew to do good or evil and committed evil. Before they committed any personal sins. So, for you ladies that have had miscarriages, every last one of them will be with you in heaven with the Lord. That's why we give burials to them. We bury them because we anticipate their resurrection into a full adult body. And the little children that have been killed. I know a guy that was out of his work one day in the morning, and as he was backing out his car, his little girl was on her trike, and she was behind the car, and he ran her over and killed her when he was backing out of the driveway. What a tragedy. Innocent little girl, little lass. She has no Adamic sin guilt because Christ died for it, and she has no acts of personal sin. She'll be with him in heaven. There's a tremendous story in 50 years in the Church of Rome with Charles Chenecky is talking about one lady he visits who's a drunk. And she is holding her baby, and she's drunk, and she's singing, and she trips, and she falls, and the baby's head is dashed against a corner of her iron stove, and bashes the little baby's brains out, and she goes crazy. She effectively loses her mind. It's one of the most heart-gripping accounts in 50 years in the Church of Rome. If you've not read that book, you need to. And that's what alcohol did, resulting in the death of that innocent little baby, which would later cause Charles Chenecky to be known as the Apostle of Temperance in Canada. And he would campaign against the rum trade in Canada to the hatred of the priests, because the priests were in charge of the rum trade. But that was what motivated him to visibly see this, when this drunken mother in a stupor tripped and killed her little baby. What happened to that little baby? Why, that little baby went to be with the Lord. I don't care if that baby was Roman Catholic raised, Roman Catholic parents, Muslim parents, Christian, Catholic, Buddhist, Hindu parents, I don't care. The babies are innocent. They have no Adamic sin guilt. Christ has died for the Adamic sin guilt. We know the whole world is guilty before God in its Adamic sin guilt, but the babies and the little children have committed no acts of sin, and so therefore they have no sins to forgive. And therefore they have a right to go to heaven to be with the Lord, which they do. Now, I had a professor in Bible college, and he was a five-point Calvinist. Remember, there have been some good five-point Calvinists. Charles Haddon Spurgeon was one of them. And Augustus Toplady was another one. You need to get the works of Augustus Toplady if you don't have that. And they believe that all babies, when they die, go to hell. And I had an instructor, Dr. Rembert Carter, who said one day in class, well, if all the aborted babies go to heaven when they die, well, then let's kill them all. Yeah. I was shocked and floored. And he had two children. So, please do not believe babies and innocent little children go to hell when they die. It's just not what the Bible teaches, but we have more to talk about here. We go to Mark 10:14. It's going to say the same thing as Matthew 19:14, and so will Luke 18:16. These two verses are going to say the same thing. Luke 10:13 and following. And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. What do you think he said? Stop it! Bring them to me! Don't you forbid them to come to me! He was much displeased. He was angry. And said unto them, suffer ye, allow the little children to come unto me. Again, Padilla. These little boys, little girls, like they are playful and always dancing and skipping, and you know how they are, you know, carefree. if they're mentally healthy. That's probably what they were doing. They were dancing and skipping up to him. And I'm sure when he declared himself the Messiah, when he declared himself, yes, Messiah, when they said, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord, they were probably skipping around and happy. And the Pharisees, the leader said, tell them to be quiet. Well, haven't you heard? Out of the mouth of babes is perfected praise. These little children, let them come to me. And don't forbid them, for such is the kingdom of heaven. He probably said it that way too. Suffer them to come unto me. Allow them to come unto me. Don't forbid them, for if such is the kingdom of heaven. He raised his voice, I'm sure. He wasn't some stoic, emotionless philosopher. Okay? He was the Son of God, the very Son of Man. He had all the emotions of a man and manifested them from time to time. And this was one of them, when he was displeased. Because little children are innocent. They've committed no acts of sin. And they have every right to be with the Lord in heaven. They have no acts of sins, and they've been cleansed from their Adamic sin guilt by virtue of Christ going to the cross. When Christ went to the cross, he became the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world, John 1:29. And that sin of the world includes the Adamic sin guilt of all men. He's going to die for that. Remember, as in Adam, all die, all suffer physical death. But we all spiritually died in Adam when he sinned. When Adam sinned, he died and we died in him. And so when we're born under with Adamic sin guilt under the curse of physical death. That's why all men die. Because we are in Adam, we are under the curse of physical death. And if we commit sins, if we're sinners, why we are condemned, we're lost, and we need to be forgiven of our sins. And so when that happens, then we're saved by belief of the gospel. But these children, their Adamic sin guilt has been forgiven. All of them, for every age, past, present, and future. So that children are not condemned when they're born. They're not condemned in Adam. That Adamic sin guilt has been paid for. Otherwise, if not, then God must be righteous and send them all to hell. Which is an absolute conflict with his attribute of love. God is both holy first and then love secondly. Well, his holiness was satisfied with the death of Christ on the cross. When he laid upon him the iniquity of us all, to which God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, all these little children have been reconciled, made peace between. Doesn't mean salvation, it just means peace between. That's what reconciliation is. Unsaved people are reconciled. Did you know that? That doesn't mean they're saved. And so all these little children, these little babies, are all reconciled. They have no Adamic sin guilt. They have no acts of personal sin. And therefore, every right and every reason for God to take them into his presence upon their physical death. Because they will be raised at the first resurrection, I would imagine, with all the other Old Testament believers. And maybe those at the judgment seat of Christ during this present evil age. But they're going to get resurrection bodies. And they'll be with the Lord forever. And we will know in heaven because, oh, why are you here, John? Well, I was killed when I was a baby in my mother's womb. Oh, I see. Isn't God good? He saved me. Kept me from being lost from what my parents did to me. Yeah. So, that's what it says in Luke. Listen, we did Matthew, Mark, and Luke. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. Luke chapter 18, verses 15 and 16 and 17. And they brought unto him also infants. Infants. That he would touch them. So now this is the first use of the term infants. So in verse 15, they brought unto him also infants, babes. In other words, brithe, babes. Babies. That he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. Don't bring your babies to him. Verse 16, but Jesus saw them. But Jesus called them unto him. Called his disciples. And we know in another verse, he was very much dismayed about that. Doesn't say that here. But he said, allow these little children, paideia, to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Well, it's also little children here too, babes and little children. So we can rightly conclude that babes and little children go to heaven when they die, because of such is the Davidic kingdom, that whoever enters into that at after the judgment of the sheep and the goats has no personal sins. They've had their sins forgiven, or if they're babies or little children that will enter in the Davidic kingdom, they have no personal sins and the Adamic sin guilt's been paid for. So we see both Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, Mr. Infallible, said that his Davidic kingdom that he came to establish would be composed of individuals like these little babes and like these little children. They would have no Adamic sin guilt that would be paid for, and they would have no personal sins because their sins will have been forgiven. In the case of these babies and children, they have no personal sins to forgive, but their Adamic sin guilt is paid for. I'm going to keep saying it so we get it, okay? And that's what Christ said in the three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Now, with regard to the issue of the sin nature or being in sin as a result of being in Adam, we read Romans chapter 5, verse 8 and following. Now remember, the Apostle Paul is talking to adults. He's talking to men and women that are saved in the Church of Rome in the first century. They're composed of both Gentiles and Jews. So we see here in verse 8, he's not talking to little children or babes here. He's talking to saved people that have been forgiven of their personal sins and placed into Christ by virtue of believing the gospel, no longer now condemned in Adam. He's talking to adults that are saved. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So he's talking to these saved Romans. They've been justified, declared righteous upon believing the gospel. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. So that's what I teach. All men have been reconciled. It doesn't mean saved. Reconciled means to have peace between. There's peace between all men and God the Father. They've all been reconciled, but they're not all saved. And all babies and all babes and all little children have been reconciled, and they, at the same time, they have no acts of personal sin, and so therefore I maintain they will be with the Lord in heaven. I don't regard them as saved because they haven't been saved from their personal sins. They have no personal sins. They've just been, righteousness of Christ has been given to them. They have no sins to forgive. They have no Adamic sin guilt. And so, by the grace of God, I believe that righteousness is imputed to them. And now with the righteousness of Christ, they will be with him forever in glory. We go on. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we've now received the atonement. And we've received the pardon. And that word atonement is reconciliation. Yes, indeed, we clarify the King James Bible in certain places. So, we've been reconciled. The whole world's been reconciled as a whole, but individually the saved are reconciled. Make it personally applicable. But a babe can't make it personally applicable. A babe doesn't know right from wrong. A babe just is hungry and needs to sleep and needs to be loved or have a diaper change. That's all they know. So there's no consciousness of sin. Well, you say they're in Adam. They're condemned because they're in Adam. Well, no. Christ died for their Adamic sin guilt. So that Adamic sin guilt cannot be imputed to them either. That's why the death of Christ on the cross and his burial and resurrection is the most important act in the history of the ages. What it accomplished. What his death extended to and covered. And as I've taught before, this is kind of as an aside, but the Lord Jesus Christ died for the sin of Lucifer. He dies for all sin. Not that the devil can be saved or his demons, they can't be saved, but he died for their sins. He died for their rebellion. And by virtue of his death, burial, and resurrection for them, he has a right to judge them. God the Father will never judge Satan, and he will never judge any of his demons, his thrones, principalities, powers, and dominion. All judgment's been given to the Son and his church, I would add, because we'll have the mind of Christ. But believers in Christ, can you imagine yourself sitting at the great white throne judgment with Jesus Christ, and someone is there, and he says, well, I was never born. That's what Christ said of Judas. Woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for him if he had never been born. Well, aborted babies are never born. Aborted babies have no sin guilt. And it's going to be better for aborted babies and babies and little children that died without any knowledge of sin than for men to die in their sins, like Judas and others. Continuing. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, this is the world of mankind, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That's in an aorist tense, a point in time in the past. All of us sinned in Adam's loins. All of mankind sinned in Adam's loins. All the little aborted babies sinned in Adam's loins. All the little children that were run over by their parents in the car or dash their brains against the stove by a drunken mother. All these little babies were born with Adamic sin guilt. They all sinned in Adam, but the Lord Jesus Christ paid for that Adamic sin guilt. So it will not be imputed to them. They're the innocents, as we read in Exodus. Going on. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Every man, every woman, every child that ever born was born from Adam to Moses. They all suffered physical death. Why? Physical death is the payment for a sin nature. I never said these little babies never had a sin nature and they had their sin nature removed. I said their Adamic sin guilt has been removed. They still have their sinful nature, for which reason they physically die. Which reason we all physically die, because we have a sinful Adamic nature that hates God. But Christ has paid for it. See, that's why he had to be born of a virgin, so he didn't have an Adamic sin nature, so he could be the substitute or the subrogee or the propitiator, the one who would step up in our place with no sin to be able to take our Adamic sin guilt as well as our personal sins and die for them as though he was guilty of it all. Going on. But not as the offense. It goes on, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come, namely Christ. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Free gift for you adults, dead in trespasses and sins. Doesn't say dead in Adamic sin guilt. It says dead in trespasses and sins. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, that's all dead. Many means all there. Everybody's died through the offense of Adam. The gift of by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And it will abound unto many. It's going to abound to all the babies and all the little children that died before they ever had any personal sins and they had their Adamic sin guilt removed. Which is our topic. And not as it was by one that sins, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. And for those who having committed offenses and personal sins, they are justified when they believe the gospel. And I maintain, since these little babies and these little children, these little Padia and Technon, these little children, Padia and babes, since they have no acts of personal sin, there's no acts of personal sin to forgive. So Adamic sin guilt is taken care of. No acts of personal sin. Okay, I'm going to impute to you my righteousness, my dear little child, or my dear little children. I'm imputing my righteousness to you because you're innocent of any personal sins. And innocent of Adamic sin guilt, therefore I can impute my righteousness to you, and therefore you're going to spend eternity with me. Every last aborted baby. And that concerns me too, because I'm guilty of procuring an abortion many years ago for a woman I love very much and sought to marry her. Nope. I paid for it. So, that sin has been forgiven through the blood of Christ. Thank God. But the baby's saved. And I'll see him or her one day. We read, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Those are for the saved. He's talking to adults. He's talking to saved Romans. Men and women have been born again and have their sins forgiven and have the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to him. He's talking to them. But in principle, the same holds true for aborted babies, miscarriages, death of little innocent children. Same holds true for them. It's no problem for Christ to impart his righteousness to them because they don't have the ability to believe the gospel, nor to want to believe the gospel. Verse 18, therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, that's all, by the way, were made sinners. So by, it says many in the underlying text, but we know it's everybody. There's nobody that's not a sinner by birth. For by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous, and all that will shall be made righteous. I believe by the obedience of Jesus Christ, he has every right to impute his righteousness to these little children that have no Adamic sin guilt, and they have no personal acts of sin. Moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. There's a beautiful song. Where sin abounded, grace abounded more. It's a beautiful song. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So, having been saved by grace, those of us adults that had personal sins, we have the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and we shall reign with him forever. Because when God the Father looks at us, he sees the righteousness of his Son. And when God the Father looks at all these aborted babies and little babes that have died, and these lasses and lads and little children that have died, he imputes the righteousness of his Son to their account and sees Jesus Christ, and hence they're acceptable and permitted into the New Jerusalem forever. So that's Romans 5, as it relates in principle to babies, aborted babies, and young children, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Now I wish to stress the issue of personal sins. We read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you adult Ephesians, mostly Gentiles, and I would imagine a few Jews in there, racial Jews, and you hath he quickened, he made you alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Doesn't say you were dead in Adamic sin guilt, although they were. Every man and woman is born dead. That's why they need to be born again. And so when these little babes and little children that have no personal acts of sin, when they die, I believe the Lord gives them eternal life. He imputes justification, righteousness of Jesus Christ to them, and they are saved. They haven't been saved from their sins because they have no sins, but you can consider them saved with Christ, having the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Because now these people are lost. They were dead in their sins. Go on and read. When time passed, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh sons of disobedience. But this is how they live. These are how adult sinners live. But they're noted by their acts of sin and trespasses, which babies and little children don't have. We read 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 and following. For the love of God constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Every man, woman, and child is spiritually dead. Dead in Adam. And because they have Adamic sin guilt, they have to physically die. That's why we die. That's right, Mr. Putin and Mr. Jing Jing Chi, whatever your name is in China, talking about having eternal life because you can have all these organ transplants. You're dead. You're dead, spiritually. You're dead in Adam, and there isn't anything you can do to try to procure eternal life because the clock is ticking. Your Adamic sin guilt is ticking away against your physical body, and no matter how many livers you replace or how many kidneys you replace or hearts you replace, you're going to die. That wicked, sinful David Rockefeller had something like 2 or 3 hearts implanted in him. He had heart transplant therapy. Still, he dies at, 95? These sinners are scared to death to die because they know their acts of personal sin. If they are ever called to account for them before Jesus Christ, they will be terrified. Why not just believe on Christ? Why not just say, okay, I'm sorry, I repent, I believe that Christ died for my sins, he was buried and rose again, and I flee to him for refuge for my soul, and he's going to save me by forgiving me of my sins, and therefore I don't have to be concerned about when or where or how I die. Because it's going to happen anyway. Now, I want to die in faith, in obedience to the Lord. I don't want to be dead in sin, going off in some sinful behavior, which I have done in the past. I had to confess it and have it forsaken and have it forgiven, 1 John 1:9. But as far as these babies and children are concerned, they have no sins to confess. They know nothing of sin. They know nothing of a bad conscience. These little children don't have a conscience. They're out to play. They're playing. They have no idea of the tremendous difficulty there is to live, to make enough money to pay your bills, to make peace in your house with your wife. I mean, all sorts of things the devil wants to work against you. These little children have no knowledge of this. They're out playing, and they know mom and dad are going to have something for them to eat at lunchtime or dinner time, and everything's fine. They have no conscious awareness of sins. They have no personal sins that they have committed. And they're in Adam. But if Christ dies for their status of being in Adam, they cannot be condemned for being in Adam. If Christ dies, that would be the only reason that he's not dying for their sins, because they have no sins. Remember, at the great white throne judgment, everybody there is the dead, and they're not being judged because they're not being given their degree of lake of fire because they're dead. They're given their degree of the lake of fire by their works. They're there because they're dead. They're dead, and they're dead in trespasses and sins, and they're obviously adults who at the point were made aware of their sins, and they did nothing about it, and they wouldn't believe the gospel, and they wouldn't seek God. Romans chapter 1. There's none that seeketh after God. So all these dead before Jesus Christ, the great white throne, are there. They're not the elect, and they have sins, and their sins will determine their degree of the lake of fire they will get. But these little babies, there's no little baby at the great white throne. I didn't commit any sins. And I never knew I was dead in Adam. Never knew any of that. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ died for your status in Adam. And the Lord Jesus Christ didn't have to die for your sins because you don't have any. So therefore, there won't be any babies or any of the young children in full mature age at the great white throne judgment. They won't be there. They'll either be at the judgment seat of Christ, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians 5, or they will be at the first resurrection, Revelation chapter 20, verse 6 thereabouts. Resurrection of the just. Second Peter chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes. These are adults, okay? Sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. These are adult people, knowing good from evil. Having eyes full of adultery, so they're beyond the age of puberty. These are adults. Having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin. Beguiling unstable souls, a heart they have exercised with covetous practices. These are all adults. And then it says, cursed children. They're cursed children. Why, they're children of the devil. They're not little children that Christ said, suffer them to come into me. These, they're children, and they're children of the devil. That's why Christ said to those unsaved Jewish leaders, John 8:44, ye are your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. Abraham is not your spiritual father. Satan is your spiritual father. You children of the devil. And these children of the devil are adults. They are not these little children, as I mentioned previously. Because there's going to be people that say to you, oh, no, no, babies are going to hell. Look at, so are children. It says there's cursed children right there. Cursed children are going to hell. In the context, these are adults. They're not technon. They're not little pedia. They're not little children, little boys, little girls. This is their status. They're cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumbass speaking with the man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These people are adults. And Scripture calls them cursed children. Whose children are they? The children of the devil. They know good from evil. They've forsaken the right way. So these are not children being sent to, or that are cursed by virtue of the little children of that we previously read about. It's totally different. Remember, the meaning of a word will always be given in its context. Always do your Bible reading and understanding, keeping the words in the context that you find them. It's dishonest to take a verse out of context and quote it for your purposes. Any verse taken out of context is a pretext for a heresy. So, 2 Peter 2. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Verses 21 to 23. For since by man came death, that's Adam, by Adam came death. And the day you eat thereof, you're going to surely die, Adam. He ate, he died spiritually, and he went on to die physically. But now, for since by one man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead, who is Christ. Verse 22. For as in Adam all die, all will die physical deaths. That's not spiritual death here. It's physical death. For us, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And we're going to be made physically alive. We're going to have a resurrection body, those of us in Christ. But for the little babes and the little children who have no Adamic sin guilt, who were born in Adam with an Adamic sin guilt and died because they had Adamic sin guilt, that Adamic sin guilt was not imputed to them because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And so they died, but they're not guilty of any sin, be it Adamic sin guilt, evidenced by their urge to sin when they get to be the place of an adult and commit acts of sin. Remember, these little babies have this little sin nature like everybody else does. They've just never committed acts of sin. And so we see, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So, these little babes, these little children died because of being in Adam, but their Adamic sin guilt was not imputed to them because all sin was imputed to Christ. We read in Genesis chapter 8, verses 20 and 21 and 22. This is after the flood. This is the after the worldwide flood when the waters covered the face of the earth. A globe does not have a face. Only a plane has a face. The earth is a footstool. It's flat on top with legs below. They call it foundations in the book of Job. So the earth is not a globe. And therefore, that's why water could rise. Okay. So this is after the flood. And we read in verse 20. By the way, sedimentary rock everywhere. When you see sedimentary rock in the Grand Canyon, in any other place you go, that's evidence that that land was underwater once. Just when you're driving down the road sometime, just take a look at the sedimentary rock when these construction workers have cut a swath, a road through a mountain. Look at the strata there. It was all underwater. That's why the theory of evolution and uniformitarianism is so ridiculous. Completely unfactual. But back to our topic. We read here in Genesis chapter 8, after the flood, verse 20, "And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor." You know why? Because I'm looking forward to my son. Yeah, these animals were sacrificed. Their blood was shed by Noah because he's looking for the Redeemer. That will be my son. And when my son dies on the cross, that will be a sweet savor to me, because now I can forgive the sin of all these little babies and of all these aborted babies. And all these little children, I can righteously and judiciously forgive their Adamic sin natures, and they have no individual sins, and so I can justify them and declare them righteous in Christ, and they will be saved. Can you imagine the temptation of Christ as when Peter said to him, "Don't go"? There's a psalmist said, "If the foundations be removed, what shall the righteous do? If I don't go to the cross, all those people that I promised to save in the past can never be saved. And all those little babies and all those little children that died prematurely with no knowledge of sin, they're lost too. There is no baby and no little child going to heaven apart from the finished work of Jesus Christ, whereby God will be able to impute the righteousness of his son to them, because they have no Adamic sin guilt and they have no personal acts of sin. If Christ wouldn't have gone to the cross, God could not have imputed his righteousness to them, because nobody's getting into heaven before God the Father without the righteousness of his son. It has to be imputed to these poor little dears that died prematurely and had no personal acts of sin and had no sin nature. That righteousness of Christ must be imputed to them, and it is. We go on and read. "And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." But notice this. Man's heart is evil continually, even from his youth. His youth is when he gets to be about the age of 10 or 12 or whatever, and he starts to want to do evil. He has to have acts of evil. He's going to want to be doing evil. Because prior to that, they're not wanting to do evil. They're innocent. They don't have acts of sin. And so young men need to be saved. About the time of puberty, at least, that's the time they need to hear the gospel. They need to be saved. Because that's when acts of sin start to take place, and sexual sin, whatever. They need to be saved. That's why we preach the gospel to whosoever will. And that's why I wonder when someone tells me, "I was saved when I was a little girl, when I was 5. I wonder about that. Did you have any concept of sin? Did you have acts of sin? your concept have a concept? I mean, you know, you might have not finished your porridge one morning for breakfast. Was that an act of sin? Bible says anything not of faith is sin. Well, how can these little babies have faith if they're not able to believe the gospel? And they are able. We know that all men are able to believe. But they're not at the place where they know from good from evil and are able to believe, these little children, these babes. So, man does evil from his youth. Again, the issue of personal sins. We go to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. But while he, that's Joseph, thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. Because remember, she was espoused to him, and in the law of the Hebrew law, that's as good as marriage. Okay? That's why Christ was not a bastard. He was conceived while Mary and Joseph were engaged or espoused, and that's as good as marriage. Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. The issue is personal sins. For adults, the issue is personal sins. We need to have our sins forgiven by believing the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, how Christ died for our sins according to Scripture, was buried and rose again. That's what takes care of our personal sins. And he will save his people, those are the Jewish people primarily, from their sins. He's going to bring national salvation. They're going to have their sins forgiven. What was prophesied in Jeremiah 31 will come to pass with the new covenant. When I shall take away their sins, he says. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And Emmanuel, God with us, the Lord Jesus Christ, will take away the sins of the nation of Israel one day. And for those racial Jews that call upon him today, he will take away your sins too, my friend. There's only one who can forgive sins. Who can forgive sins but God alone? That's right. God manifest in the flesh, very God, very man, son of God, a hypostatic union, whatever you want to call it, where he, by virtue of his being a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, can save them to the uttermost who come unto God by him, from the guttermost to the uttermost. Doesn't matter what your sins are. That's why that one woman, she started weeping as she anointed his head with the most precious oil and flowed down his hair, was filled the room with a savor, and she's weeping. And he says, this woman, though her sins are many, are forgiven. Weeping, her tears on his feet, wiping his feet with her hair. Peter, tell me something, Peter. Who would love me the most? The one who's forgiven the most or forgiven the least? Well, I would imagine that the one who's forgiven the most. That's right, you've judged rightly, Peter. This woman, whose sins are many, is forgiven. And she entered this house, and she is washed my feet with her tears and dried my feet with her hair, and you've done nothing. She loves me more than you do, Peter, because I've forgiven her more than what I've forgiven you. And it's a matter of personal sins. Dear little babes and dear little children don't have personal sins to forgive. So he's going to impart his righteousness to them and give him his salvation. I mean, Christ was baptized by John the Baptizer, John the Prophet the Baptizer. And John says, I got to be baptized by you, Jesus. He says, suffer it to fulfill all righteousness. I'm identifying myself with my people, namely. And hence, these little babes, these little children, will be imparted the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and therefore have the right to live in heaven with the Lord forever. They will have a salvation by imparting imputation of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. They had no sins to forgive, and they had no Adamic sin nature to be guilty for, because Christ died for all men's Adamic sin guilt. Now there's a time when a young child comes to the place where he knows to choose between good and evil. How do we know that? Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, 15, and 16. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And this virgin is the Alma. An Alma can either mean a virgin, or it can mean a young woman of marriageable age who has a child. Either way. Because I taught previously, this particular verse has double reference. Isaiah 7:14 has double reference. It has a reference to then, to the sign to Ahaz. At the time this little child, Emmanuel, will know good from evil, to choose the good and refuse the evil. The land that you hate that will be forsaken by both your kings, that's Israel and Syria, Pekah and Rezin. There's a future fulfillment. There would be an Alma, a virgin. It's used seven times in the Old Testament. Every time it's a virgin. And the Hebrew word Bethula is also used of a husband of her youth. She's a married woman, yet that would term generally is a virgin. So Alma in its primary meaning is a virgin. Remember the 70 Jews who translated the Hebrew text into a Greek called the Septuagint. All those 70 Jews translated Alma as virgin. That's a couple centuries before Christ. So the immediate fulfillment of Isaiah 7:14 is there would be a young woman who'd have a child named Emmanuel. And before this child, resist, 15, butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken by both her kings. There comes a moment when a child arrives at the place where they can choose the good and refuse the evil, or vice versa. And the moment they get there and they choose evil, they now have personal acts of sin and they now need to be saved. When that comes for children, I don't know. I think about my past children. And I would just say the last son I raised, he knew good from evil about the time he was 7 or 8. That's why I gave him the gospel throughout his childhood. I would say Jordan knew good from evil and choose good and refuse evil about the time he was 8 or so. 8 or 9, but I don't know, it's different for others. But there comes a time when all these young children are going to come to the place where they're going to know to either choose or refuse evil. And when they choose evil, they've committed an act of sin for which they need to be forgiven. And they are not saved, they're lost. So, in conclusion, we must conclude these babes, these young children, these little boys, little girls, they're innocents. They are innocent and plural, they are innocents, plural. They're innocent of any acts of personal sin, though they're in Adam, though they must die, though they have Adamic sin guilt. They have a sinful nature. They don't know good from evil, and they haven't committed any acts of sin. And these are called innocents. We read of these innocents. The prophet Jeremiah is speaking to the nation of Israel, verse 31. O generation, see ye the word of the Lord? Have I been a wilderness unto Israel, a land of darkness? Wherefore say my people, we are lords, we will come no more unto thee? Can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me, days without number. Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? Therefore hast thou also taught the wicked ones thy ways. Verse 34. Also in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents. I have not found it by secret search, but upon all these. They gave themselves abortions. This is the blood of the poor innocents, the souls, because the life of the flesh is in the blood. The soul of the poor innocents. The blood of the souls of the poor innocents. They're in thy skirts. Every aborted baby is innocent. And the righteousness of Jesus Christ is imputed to them. Because they have no acts of personal sin. And he died for their sinful nature, is their Adamic sin nature. He died for them being in a condemned status. They're innocent. And again, Jeremiah 19, verse 4. Because they have forsaken me and have estranged this place, and have burned incense in it to other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with the blood of innocents. You've killed your babies, and maybe even your little children. Maybe when you offered them unto Baal in that red hot idol, when you took your babies and put them in the hands of that red hot idol. Remember that? Moloch. All those little babies died and went to heaven. Or died and went to paradise at the time. Now they would die and go to heaven. Because paradise is in heaven. We're on the edge of heaven. They're innocents. And so in conclusion, dear listener, every aborted baby, every baby that has died, every baby, every young child that has died prior to the age of knowing good and evil and the ability to choose good and evil, they all have the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to them. They're all saved and they're all with the Lord. And so I want to comfort you, dear brethren, that have lost children, maybe even have committed an act of abortion. Or maybe have your children, one of your little children, drown in a swimming pool or whatever. Tragedy, terrible as it is, you're going to see them someday, just as David said. He will not come to me, but I will go to him. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to you this day. Brother Eric John Phelps, thank you for tuning into the podcast today. I have a book, Vatican Assassins, Wounded in the House of My Friends. Go to my website, VaticanAssassins.org. Purchase the ebook. There's other things there I offer. Go to 24/7 World Radio. You may purchase my broadcasts over the last 10, 12 years or so. I'm also offering my private citizenship class, my tax class, whereby I teach you how to avoid the income tax. If you are working in the private sector, you want to do that. And most importantly of all, it's my prayer that you're saved, that you believe that Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose again, 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, and that you have repented towards God the Father and had faith in Christ and what he did for you. and that he'll save you to the uttermost if you come into God by him. It's my prayer for you today. Please send your gifts to RBT, P.O. Box 306, Newmanstown, Pennsylvania, 17073, or to RBPB Church at Comcast.net, or to Cash Tag ERICJONPHELPS. Cash Tag ERICJONPHELPS for Cash App. So until the next time we meet, may the Lord bless you as you do his will according to his word, the AV 1611 Reformation English Bible in its present edition of 1769. Until then, Maranatha, the Lord be with you.